Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oregon holds a spring game. Dylan Brooks to Portland, maybe, maybe not. And my daughter played in a golf tournament, and I was torn because I was low-key pulling for my alma mater a little bit. Brennan will probably take me to town for that. All that and more coming up on the Sports by Northwest podcast featuring myself, Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian, and Brenna Green of Coin 6. Brenna, how are you this week?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I've been doing daddy duty today. I was out at Stone Creek watching my daughter for 4 hours in the rain, committed to watching her play golf because it's fun.
I have covered a few golf tournaments.
Yeah,
in
covering
my time.
Them not so much fun.
And let me tell you, they're oh, yes. Bears. Like, you're out there for a while, you're hanging out. Meanwhile, let me tell you this, from the TV perspective, golf tournaments are very interesting to cover.
They're impossible.
Because, yeah, like, first of all, no, you are not going to get this person shooting or, like, hitting a long-range ball. Like, I'm sorry, my camera cannot handle that. I do not work for CBS Sports, right. Okay? So, it's impossible to find that white little ball in the air. It's not going to happen. So, we're getting all putts, baby. It is all
putts. Maybe a chip.
Putts,
can you get a chip?
Okay?
You get a chip. Maybe it's your
maybe, right. Yeah, maybe, yeah, I could probably do that. Wow, I didn't know I was going to get into this rant right now. Secondly, you're kind of at the mercy of where you are and, like, who you're following and what's going on. A golf cart is absolutely necessary.
Yep, I had one today.
See, good for you. Should I tell a story of a time where I almost didn't get a golf cart? Should we do that real
sure,
quick?
Sure, why not?
Because this is, you'll enjoy this. You'll enjoy the ending of this. It's a great ending. So I'm in Great Falls, Montana. I'm covering some, like, Montana amateur golf thing, whatever. And I go into the clubhouse and I'm like, hey, I need a golf cart, blah, blah, blah. The guy at the front, the golf pro at the front, flips out on me and is like, can't give you one. We don't have any left. We can't give you one. Sorry, you aren't going to get one. And I'm like, so I go to somebody else. So they try to go get another, like, keys to another golf cart. The guy in the front flips out and is like, I know you're getting it for that girl and she cannot have a cart, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, this is crazy. So finally, another guy from another station shows up and goes to, like, the guy in charge of the entire golf course and is like, we need a cart. So finally, we get a cart. So we get a cart, we're rolling around, which, by the way, that was a real adventure in itself because this guy did not know golf etiquette. He, at one point, drove the golf cart onto the putting green. Yes way. And I'm like, oh my God. Make it stop. Make it stop. As it's happening, I'm like, oh, how am I in the same cart as this guy? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. He's rolling around. It was a real thing. But the kicker is that a few months later, I'm on one of the illustrious dating apps of our day. And I'm going back and forth with this guy. And he's like, so did you ever get that cart at the golf amateur? I'm like, shut up. And he's like, yep, that was good. That was great. I really enjoyed watching that all happen. And I was like, wow, first time I've been left speechless on this thing. So there you go. A lesson in golf etiquette and all, or not even golf etiquette, shooting golf. I guess there was a golf etiquette lesson in there as well. Don't drive your cart onto the putting green. And also, everybody knows who you are. Thankfully, I didn't do anything. I was just hanging out. But there you go. Yes. So.
Oh, yes. Golf is an interesting thing. I've only covered a couple of golf tournaments. And a lot of times you just go in the media tent and watch it on TV because you're not going to really follow it. I mean, you might follow the leaders, I guess, the last few holes or something, but then it's hard to get a spot to see actually see anything. So, yeah, it's not that interesting. All right. But what is interesting and easy to cover is football. Because you're all cushy at a press box and the game's right there in front of you, right? On 100 yards, not 6,000 yards. So you were at the Oregon Spring Game. It looked like a fantastic day. It was beautiful out, unlike today. 45,000 people. Mariota was in town. Lanning was out being Lanning. Just before we get to the game, let's just talk about the atmosphere. What was it like being there?
Yeah, I mean, the student section was pretty jacked for the first half. You know, by the time we got to the second half, it was time to continue on with our day and continue partying. And to be honest, I understand. I get it. Go have fun. But yeah, the first half, it was like a pretty full, like they had pretty much two full sections of the student section. So that was awesome. Like you said, an absolutely beautiful day for a spring game. It was a lot of fun out there. A lot of people around, you know, from various years around the program.
Tons of players there.
It was, you know, I think also the side that the press box was on had way more fans, and we couldn't see that because of where the press box is. And also because the side of Autzen that the press box is on had way more fans is because that's where the overhang is.
Right.
So we couldn't really see that side and like how it was all down there during the game. So the other side like wasn't as impressive because I mean, at some point who wants to sit out in the sun for, you know, an hour and a half, like that. But yeah, it was a good time down there. I think, you know, they couldn't have picked a better day to have a spring game, even though, you know, obviously they didn't pick that day knowing that the weather was going to be, but it worked out pretty well.
It's always cool when Marcus comes back. Did you get a chance to talk to him at all? No,
I did not get to speak with him. Yeah, the only person I really talked to was my former high school classmate, Keenan Lowe. Hmm. So we chatted it up a little bit, but
how's he doing?
Yeah. Chatted it up with Kelly Graves as well. So that was fun.
Yeah. He's always fun to talk to. Yeah. All right. The game itself. Did you spend a lot of time on the field or were you up in the box?
I was up in the box mostly.
So my relationship with spring games go like this. So when the first couple I covered back in the day, I was kind of intrigued and interested because I was new covering the team and it was fascinating because I hadn't been to a spring game since when I played in a long time ago. But then after like it's 1996. So my third, wait, I'm sorry, 2006. So I think it was my third spring game. I was done. And like spring games were just silly. They're glorified practices. You know, you can't touch the quarterback. You can't really get a read on too much. A lot of times players are able to excel in the game they're never going to excel in the fall. So it's kind of fool's gold in a lot of ways. And so I just got over covering it. But sometimes you can glean a few things from a spring game. But let's start with you. What did you come away feeling that you were impressed by?
The wide receiver group was the winners of the day. Now, like you said, you have to keep in mind it's the spring game. A lot of times you're going to be going against a corner that maybe isn't going to see that much playing time in the fall. So you have to remember that. You have to remember who they're going up against. That's really, really important. But all of the dynamic plays were somehow related to a wide receiver. They had three guys who I thought had, you know, really great days. I mean, Chris Hudson had nearly 150 yards and a touchdown. He was really close to having two. Yeah, Tez Johnson definitely showed us his feet that we've kind of been hearing about this all spring ball from them about how fast he is. So that was, you know, he had that 70-yard touchdown that was pretty much all him running. It was just kind of a pass over the middle, and then he took it all the way. So, like I said, you have to keep in mind who he's going up against. You know that this is not going to be, you know, UCLA's number one defense or whatever Pac-12 school you want to pick. You know, Oregon State's number one defense. He's not going up against that at that point. But I thought overall the wide receiver group had a really nice day. You know, you got your classic Bo Nix, Troy Franklin connection. Nice touchdown there. So, yeah, I thought that they, you know, the big names showed up. And I thought that was a good thing.
I agree 100%. To your point, like even the Franklin touchdown from Nix, the corner was in bump and run man with no safety help. That's a touchdown. Like that's an audible. If you see Franklin one-on-one with a corner and no safety, the safety was in the middle, actually inching more to the other side. That's I'd audible to just a go and just throw it up there for him, which is what Bo Nix did. That's an easy touchdown. That's something you probably aren't going to see much in a real game, but still. We know those guys are going to be fine. I wanted to see Tez do something. I wanted to see Holden do something. I thought Holden showed them some things, even though he didn't have a big play. But the Tez play was nice because they didn't really have a receiver last year that turned a lot of short passes into long passes, sort of like how guys like Charles Nelson and DeAnthony Thomas used to do back in the day. Tez is that kind of guy. And then Hudson on a 70-yard pass down the middle from Ty, that was a gorgeous throw. That was just a beautiful throw down the middle, sailed it out there for him to go get it. So it was good to see that. I thought Ty was a little shaky early, but he had some good numbers, under 50% completions, which isn't great, but 274 yards, I think, a couple touchdowns, whereas last year he threw a couple picks. So definitely some progress there. So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I came away with. You know, it's hard to evaluate the offensive line. It's hard to evaluate the defense. You know, you saw some athletes out there, but, you know, you guys see them in more livelier situations than this. But I thought it was a good show. You know, they put on a good show for the fans and there was some nice things to see. So, hey, I give it an A.
I was a little surprised to see Bo out there. He threw 40 passes. You know, he said he took a series off in the third and then I think he only took like one series off and then came back. It might have been
Austin
two.
Did Austin get injured?
But
he only threw 4 passes. Was he injured?
I don't know. I don't know what happened, but he came back and then the company line afterwards was, oh yeah, that was the plan. I'm like, that's a different plan for a spring game than I've ever seen, but okay. and then he was like, yeah, it was the plan, but I was even more motivated once I saw the other team like go up on us in the third. And then I was ready to go.
Well, hey, more power to him. I mean, look, it's not like he's going to get hurt. You can't touch him.
Yeah, you'd hope not.
Whoever, if he gets hurt, someone's losing a scholarship. You injure the quarterback in a spring game, you might as well just go to the locker room, take off your gear, go to your dorm room, pack your bags, get on a plane back to mom. So, hey, throw 40 passes. What the heck?
Yeah. If I'm going a loser of the day as a group, running backs had a weird day. Like, both teams running backs had a really weird day. I mean, Bucky Irving only carried twice. Noah Whittington carried 10 times, but he only had like 31 yards. So, you know, like you said, it's a spring game. I'm not going to read too much into it, but I mean, there wasn't any big running back plays whatsoever. And you know, that Whittington Irving tandem is, you know, really, is one of the top tandems in the conference, if not the country. So I was expecting a little more from that, but you know,
it's maybe they were cautious with them because they could get hurt.
That's true.
So yesterday, Bill and I jumped on here after the Dylan Brooks news broke that the Memphis Grizzlies said, we don't want him back. Now, according to Shams, under no circumstances, although I don't know if that came from the team or not, if that was just Shams doing this thing, but whatever. But clearly they don't want him back. And so I felt like, you know, let's talk about this. So we jumped on the podcast to talk mainly about Dylan Brooks. And we both agreed that with the right contract, bring Dylan here. Brenna's making her Brenna face when she's like, what you talking about, Willis? Anyway, now she's laughing at me. All right, well, just calm down. Down, Brenna. Just relax, I'll give you your chance.
Unlike Dylan
Brooks. I'll give you your chance. All right. Because the Blazers need veteran, defensive-minded dogs with attitude. They didn't have any of that last year other than Hart and Winslow, sort of. They need dudes like that. Now, he needs to grow up. He needs to mature. shouldn't be talking trash about people like LeBron. That was just dumb. He needs to improve his offense. I don't see him as a starter. I see him as a backup, which he may not accept. Who knows? I wouldn't give him $20 million or $25 million, which is what reportedly he expects. I'd try and get him for 10 or something like that. Anyway, I would definitely add him to the roster. I'm not saying I would add him over if there were obvious better options, but Chauncey Billups and Cronin said their depth was too young, too inexperienced. They didn't have enough defense on the bench. Dylan Brooks solves all three of those issues. Your turn. Hold on. Let me put on some armor. I feel like you're about to crack on me here.
Oh, yeah, like I'm that vicious. Jeez. I just don't see Damian going for somebody who has 18 technicals in a year.
Maybe Damian and Chauncey feel like they can straighten him out, though. Josh's not gonna.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, continue. My fault. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see... If there's one category you don't want to be leading the league in, it's technicals, okay? That's not good. That's not great. And I just don't see Damian going for somebody like that to be on his roster. And he is a part of, that room of people who are making decisions on who comes, who stays, who goes. You know, that's just what it is. There is a triumphant at this point. You know, it's triumphant. Yeah, I think that's the word. I don't know. Anyways, everybody gets what I'm trying to say here. Okay. Him, Cronin, Chauncey.
Right. Right.
Those three are, you know, the ones, and I just don't see him signing off on somebody who is doing that sort of stuff.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think that's legit. I do believe people can mature and change. I think Dylan Brooks has been humbled beyond belief. What happened to him was humiliating. He talked trash about one of the greatest players of all time, top two probably, and then got dogged. And then didn't even answer on offense. He shot like 20-something percent. It was ridiculous. If that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. Another thing is that, remember, Rasheed was that way here. Right?
Yes.
Then he went to Detroit and straightened up a little bit while playing with whom?
Yes.
Chauncey Billups. So maybe Chauncey understands how to deal with a cat like that. Dame is going to have a much bigger presence and command much more respect than Ja, who not only Ja's really good, but he's younger than Dylan Brooks and he's a knucklehead. How are you going to listen to Ja about straightening up when Ja's doing what Ja's doing? You know what Ja's doing.
Ja isn't saying anything about straightening up.
Right. So your best player is not your leader in terms of professionalism. Dame is one of the consummate professionals in the history of pro sports. So, and again, I'm a big believer in reclamation projects, although that's gotten me in trouble in my own coaching past because I tried to fix people under unfixable, and there are people like that. But I would think that Dame and Chauncey would be the perfect tandem to fix him. And what I think could happen is if Dylan goes out in the market and realizes that not that many people are interested in him, that the best place he can go is going to be somewhere where they feel like they can control him, and this might be the place. So I really think this is a thing that could happen. Like 20% chance it could happen.
20% chance? All right. Sounds...
I spent exactly reasonable. 20 nanoseconds thinking about it, and I came up with 20%.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, they do have Thibault, who is, you know, kind of a 3-and-D guy, kind of like Dylan. But I think that Dylan probably is a better offensive player.
Well, Thibault's a better shooter right now. What Thibault showed shooting-wise was pretty impressive, but I think Dylan's a better all-around offensive guy. But, God, neither one of them has any touch. Dylan was brutal. Like Dylan on 2-point baskets was brutal. It's crazy.
Yeah. So.
But he was a role player. He was a defensive role player on a team that had the best record in the league. You need guys like that. Like you need guys who play defense. And so I think you can get away, even if you kept Thibault and Dylan Brooks and Winslow, and those are your three veteran defensive guys who are going to come out there and bring the D. And you have Ant, Grant, sorry. Dame, Grant, and then whomever they get in a trade to come in and be another star if they get somebody. And then you got Nurkic still, who's got some offense. I think it could work, but who knows? We'll see. All right.
All right, let's hear about your predicament today out on the golf course.
All right, so I've had three children play sports. My oldest son's long gone, but he played baseball. My daughter plays golf. She used to play basketball. My son plays baseball primarily. Yeah, baseball. And whenever my children have played a game or a match or whatever against Grant, I find myself torn. So today, my daughter played in the regional tournament, golf tournament. She plays for Sunset High School. They won. And one of the players she was playing with in her group was from Grant. And she had the Grant jacket and the Grant golf bag and the Grant umbrella. And I was just like, I couldn't help but pull for her. Now, let's go back in time. My son had a baseball game a couple years ago in the summer. Maybe it was last summer. No, it was two summers ago. Well, he was playing for Sunset's 8th grade summer league team. And they played Grant baseball. And I was torn. Like, it was hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was pulling for my son, but I was like, when the Grant players did well, I just automatically was like, yeah, good player. Yeah, you know, I just couldn't help it. Because I see that blue and gray and that G, and it brings me back to the day. The worst example might be a few years ago when my daughter was playing basketball, and she was on an 8th grade team, and we went to a tournament in some small town, and I get in the stands, and I sit down, and I see the girls on the opposing team warming up, and I see that blue and gray, and I see that G, and I'm like, please let that be Gresham, and it's not. It's Grant. And so I told my wife, I go, man, I don't know. She's like, what? I go, I might have to pull for Grant today. And she's like, are you kidding me? You're going to cheer against your own daughter? I go, no, I want her to score. But I don't know, man. I just can't help it. She's like, that's pathetic. I go, you just don't understand. So even later, when the tournament was over and we were in the house, we were waiting for the scores to go up and stuff like that. So that's when all the Grant girls were in there and all their Grant gear. And I was just really like, oh, my God, that Grant gear is so dope. So actually, on one of the holes, I ended up chatting with the Grant coach. And I told her I went to Grant, et cetera. I go, man, the Grant stuff is nice. I go, can I get some? Can I buy some? She's like, well, you got to get your daughter to come over to Grant. I go, she's a senior, so we can't do that. I go, what if I donate money to the program? She said, you donate money to the program, I'll hook you up with a bag and an umbrella and a Grant jacket. I'm like, cool. So anyway, now that stuff was dope. I love Grant High School. Like, that was my school, man. I love the people I went to school with. I still keep in touch with a lot of them. I mean, not every day, but, you know, Facebook, you talk to people. I'm in the fantasy league with a guy I knew from Grant. This other guy I know from Grant DMs me about Blazers all the time. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just all those connections and things. And I had a great time at Grant. You're not a parent yet, but you did play sports. Yeah. So am I psycho dad, or do you get it?
Okay. So I'm trying to put myself in your shoes because, you know, I'm just thinking, like, if I had a kid and they didn't go to Jesuit and they were playing against Jesuit, how would I feel? Okay. So I can kind of understand. Yeah. I can get it. Now my brain like short circuits, like where it's like, oh, your kid doesn't go to Jesuit. I'm like, no, my if I were to be here and had children, my kids would be going to Jesuit. Like that just would be what would happen. So I'm like, okay, like so I'm like trying to, you know, process this, and my brain just goes, no, well that's not going to happen. I can understand how it gets ingrained into you, and especially like I think something that maybe you're not taking into account that is different is the fact that you cover sports, so you're still like kind of connected with all that stuff going on tangentially. Mm. I mean, you don't cover Grant, but you kind of know where things stack up, and yeah, when you have the sports background and the sports knowledge, like I can understand why you feel a little connected to it. I get it. I understand. Now, the thing I cannot put myself in your shoes on is having a child play for another school. I would imagine I would feel very strongly connected to my child in that situation.
I feel very strongly to Taryn Payton and Isaiah back in the day. But anyway, continue.
So, you know, I understand your, like, gut first reaction of, like, go Grant. Like, they're the general,
yeah,
right?
Grant General. Hey, so, my sophomore year.
I know my PIL mascots.
My sophomore year is 1984. That's 38 years ago. So I have a 38-year connection to Grant. My daughter's 18. she ain't even been around half as long as my connection to Grant.
Sweetie, you only been around
for
18
years.
Yeah,
and then my son in the baseball thing, he's like 17 now. He was 15 at the time. So it was like, you know, I got three kids. I only have one alma mater, high school-wise.
Here's what I got to know. Does your daughter know about this pull towards Grant?
Well, when they played in the basketball game, I did say in the car ride home that I was low-key pulling for Grant. And I think Grant won big. So I think she was like, well, that was probably a good choice today. I don't think she took it personally. And I don't think...
Because I was going to say, like, what was her reaction?
No, today, I didn't say anything today. Although, she did see me chatting with the golf coach. And asked me what we were talking about. And I did say, I was telling her that I went to Grant and I wanted some Grant gear. I didn't say that. She didn't react.
And what did she say?
I think she rolled her eyes or something.
Yep. That sounds about right. That's what 18-year-old Brenna would have done. See, I never had to deal with that because my mom didn't go to school up here. And my dad's high school, like, it closed down. So, I never had to deal with it. I'm totally forgetting what high school he went to now. But anyways, yeah, like it used to be a high school in the Portland area, and now it's converted into like a middle school or something. I don't remember. Sorry, Dad. I mean, it hasn't existed since I've been like born.
Okay,
so.
But if you live somewhere else, not in the Jesuit area. Well, Jesuit's private, so you can get the Jesuit. Well, if you lived further enough out to where it'd be ridiculous to go to Jesuit, and your kids ended up playing something against Jesuit, where would your allegiance lie the most?
See, I feel like that's hard for me to answer right now, because right now it's like, oh, well, I mean, it's Jesuit, but I also don't have children, so that would also be different. So, you know, like, and by the way, this doesn't mean I'm like, you know, I know people are going to listen to this and be like, oh, she's biased towards Jesuit or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, it's the same way with Gonzaga. Like, I'm not biased enough that I can't see warts in situations. Okay. Like when I covered Gonzaga, I could see the warts as well. But, you know, like, yeah, I mean, That is my alma mater at the end of the day. It is what it is. But it's hard for me to put myself in your shoes because I've never quite been in your shoes. Right now I'm like, not Jesuit.
See, so you get it. So, and just to be clear, I wanted Sunset to win today, and they won.
Yes.
I didn't want the girl Taryn was playing with to do better than her, and Taryn did better than her. But when she was hitting, I was pulling for her. When they played basketball a couple years, I was pulling for both Sunset and Grant. And when Grant took a big lead, I didn't feel guilty anymore. Because I was like, Sunset deserves to lose. When my son was baseball, I was pulling for his team and pulling for him. But whenever a Grant kid did well, I was like, yeah, let's go, Grant. Oh, sorry. Anyway.
So funny. Old habits die hard.
All right. You have something you want to talk about pop culture-wise.
Oh gosh, this is gonna interest approximately like 1.5 people that are listening to this podcast right now. But whatever. I am a big. I love the Met Gala. Okay, and it happened on Monday, and I love seeing all the fashion. Like, I honestly think that if I was not in sports, I would be like a buyer for like a Nordstrom or something like that. Like, that's what I would want to do. It's a thing. I love fashion. I don't know what else to say. But we got to talk. So the theme this year was this designer named Karl Lagerfeld, who is like a legendary designer. However, I learned something new due to the Met Gala carpet. And apparently he has this cat that he is obsessed with. That he was obsessed with because he passed away a few years ago. And so one celebrity, you know what? Two celebrities you can always count on something weird happening on a red carpet for. Doja Cat and Jared Leto.
Okay, I saw the photo you're
talking
about.
And they both delivered on the weirdness.
I saw the photo you're talking
about.
Go ahead, keep going. I saw it.
Yes. Jared Leto shows up in a full-on cat outfit. And like a full-on, like, it was like a cat mascot. Like, that's the best way. It was a cat mascot. And then took that off on the carpet and had a different outfit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Doja Cat showed up as a cat, but like in a dress. And then when she was doing interviews, she would only answer by meowing.
Good Lord.
And I just found it to be, like, the weirdest, but honestly, like, both things were highly entertaining in a world of, you know, things that are just, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. And I'm like, you know what? Y'all want to be weird? You go for it. So I thoroughly enjoyed those two leaning into the weirdness at the Met Gala this year. There was a lot of other, I'm not going to go into like the stuff the dresses I liked or whatever, because that's boring for everybody who's listening to this. Nobody cares about that, in my opinion on that. But I just want to say, you want to know what? You want to go with the theme? And you want to lean into that theme? It's the Met Gala red carpet. Do whatever weird thing you want to do, because who cares? So there you go. And I also love cats. I have a cat of my own.
We have two.
So, you know, it was speaking to my cat mom soul. So as my cat meows in the background, because I shut him in the bedroom, because Lord knows. We've had a few of my cat has made an appearance or two on this podcast before, and that's enough for him. He can now
stay. So when you mentioned
there.
This,
like, he must.
When you mentioned this, I Googled it, and yes, the outfits are insane. And they're things that no one would ever wear, like, for real. So what happens with these things?
That's
what
point
happens
of it.
With them? The outfits.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that happens in a lot of different situations with these red carpets. But yeah, I want that cat. There's got to be some school looking for a new mascot right now. You know, just be the Persian cats or something. I don't know.
They're probably auction it off or something.
Because, I mean, it was, like I said, it was a full-on mascot. So...
All right, well, that is lighthearted. We'll get to something that's not so lighthearted, obviously. Jamie Foxx, the great Jamie Foxx, one of the most versatile entertainers ever. Dude can sing, act, do comedy. Phenomenal talent. Has been in the hospital for a few weeks now for an undisclosed medical emergency that occurred while he was filming. I can't remember what it was. He was filming something. And I remember seeing like reports here and there, and I kept thinking, oh, he just went to the hospital for something, dehydration or whatever, he'll be out. He's still in there. Then people were talking about he needed, his family was saying he needed everyone's prayers. I'm like, oh, crap, is this like for real? But then he posted something on Instagram, but apparently he's still, you know, in pretty bad shape. What do you make of this? Like, I mean, it sounds like if he's posting things, I don't know, it seems like he's probably going to be okay, but... This would be a major deal if we lost Jamie Foxx, no?
I think he's going to be fine. You know, he posted, he thanked his fans. So that's a good sign from my end that he's probably going to be okay. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it was kind of weird because it kind of just happened and then it didn't seem that serious. Then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, this might actually be kind of serious. And then he posted about it, and so now the temperature has died down a little bit. But
that's good. So, do you have a favorite Jamie Foxx movie?
Okay, I like to say I'm movie
literate. That's right, I forgot. You don't watch movies.
So, I'm not sure if I have a favorite Jamie Foxx movie, but I will say Gold Digger is a bop, okay? That is a certified bop. So, thank you for your contribution to the culture in that way,
for
Jamie.
For impersonating Ray Charles?
Rocks.
For his impersonation of Ray Charles? In that song, yeah.
Yeah, so I think if we're talking about favorite piece of content that Jamie Foxx ever participated in, easy, that for me. Easy, easy, easy. Great music video, whole thing.
So I remember Jamie Foxx from In Living Color, which was a phenomenal offshoot of Saturday Night Live. He was great on that. And then, man, he was doing comedy, and then he started making, you know, doing some serious roles. I thought he was great in Collateral, I think, with Tom Cruise. Of course, Ray Charles, what an Oscar for that one. And then Django Unchained. Oh my God, that movie is so good. He was such a badass in that movie. So that might be my favorite. Watching him shoot up racist slave owners is not unfun. Anyway, all right. So real quick before we go, we are about 11 days away from the lottery.
From D-Day.
From the lottery. Yeah. Obviously people hope to see the Blazers get number one, get Victor. I'm of the mind though. I'm going to throw this out there for you. Me and Bill are going to talk about this next week too, I think. I don't believe the number one pick is untradeable. I could see trading that pick for the right person or people.
Well, the Blazers have already come out and said they aren't going to trade it.
I know they say that. I'm not saying they're gonna. I'm just saying if you offered me, there are players in the league I'd trade that pick for. I don't think they're going to necessarily be available. But let's say Philly lost Harden and said we love Victor. We think he's going to be made, and we'll give you Embiid. Done. Nano say it. Or if Toronto says we'll give you OG and Siakam. Done. Or Suns, Durant's old, they're going to trade him. Paul's done. We want to start over, give you Booker and Ayton. Done! Because if you make a deal like that with Dame, you have a 3 to 4 year window to win a title. There is no guarantee that you're going to ever win a damn thing with Victor. There's like, let's not pretend like he's a guaranteed title. Embiid and Jokic are the best two bigs in the NBA. Is he going to be better than those two?
You don't make a bad argument.
Zion was supposed to be can't miss. How's that going? Odin was supposed to be can't miss. How's that going? Durant has been amazing, but he only won a title because he jumped on the Warriors. So Durant is your best player, hasn't won a championship. LeBron as your best player in Cleveland, didn't win a championship. He's only won championships when he was running around to chase teammates. So having Victor does not guarantee anything in terms of winning a championship. Plus, he's tall and brittle. How many tall, brittle guys have been great in the NBA? I mean, I guess you could say Durant maybe, but he's not 7'4". Yeah. This kid's brittle. Chet Holmgren didn't even play his first year because he had an injury. Odin was injured before he played. He missed his first year. We all know what happened with Bowie here. We know what happened with Walton here. Right? Porzingis was supposed to be what everyone was saying Victor's going to be. And Porzingis is pretty good, 23-9 a night. He was the unicorn, right? A 7'5 guy could do everything. He's been New York, Dallas, Washington. And they didn't make the playoffs with him and Kuzma and Bradley Beal. So what I'm saying is that Victor isn't guaranteed to do jack. He could be good, but he isn't guaranteed to bring you titles. There's no guarantee. So if I could trade him for a combination of guys, if there's someone out there who wants to do it, who they believe he's a guaranteed title waiting to happen, I'd do it. And I had those 4 years with Dame and those players. And then maybe 7 years from now, I'm mad because Victor's killing it. Or maybe 7 years from now, I'm happy because either he's not killing it or, here's the other thing, he can leave. He can crush it in Portland and say, I don't want to be here, and bail. So all I'm saying is if I can get the players to win a championship with Dame, I'm doing that first. I trade Victor.
Have we on this podcast discussed who we would want to be the Blazers picker at the lottery.
She
yet.
Ain't got a response for all that. She's just like, this dude's psycho.
I thought you were gonna ask, do we have
a phone number for a therapist to get me some help? That's what I thought you were gonna ask me.
No, we don't know who's going yet. Yeah, well, I know we don't know who's going. Have we discussed
who should go?
Do you have any thoughts on this?
I heard Brendan Roy might be in the mix. Maybe some pass great would be interesting. I can see that.
You want to know who I really want?
Tell me what you want. What you really, really want?
I want Greg Oden.
Oh my god, I feel so bad for Greg.
And so do I. But I think it would be great. I think it would be great for all parties.
If he won it, if they won.
But I don't think he. I don't think he's gonna do it.
Yeah, I don't think he would.
Yeah, you know, I've no inside intel whatsoever. So I'm just literally saying that off the top of my head. But I don't think it can be Chauncey or Dame. I think we got to get some fresh blood in there.
What about sending Shaden? Shaden's too shy.
Shaden? No. That's not Shaden's scene. No.
You don't want to send Ant because you might be trading Ant on draft day.
Yeah, you can't send Ant. You can't send no. Nurkic. Yeah, no. There's nobody player wise that could go except for Dame. And at this point, we've done Dame.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think we can do Chauncey. He's
No, I don't send a coach. That's corny.
Yeah, sending the coach is corny, and there are, for better or worse, some fans who don't think that think he should be under more of a microscope than what he is right now.
Brooke.
Cronin's too basic. We can't do Cronin. Not like it's the same vein as Chauncey. You gotta do something different. You gotta shake it up. You gotta have fun with it. Another idea that's been thrown out there to me is LaMarcus.
Can you not hear me? Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
I said Brooke like six times.
Brooke. You said who? Brooke? I love that. Send
the queen of Rip City.
If there is anyone that this fan base 100% universally loves, it is Brooke Olsen.
Absolutely. Send
Brooke.
We vote Brooke.
That's great. No, sorry, I couldn't hear you before because I was talking too loud. What a concept.
I thought you
were
just
ignoring
me. I was like, are you dissing Brooke? You can't do that. You'll get canceled right out of town.
I just was saying LaMarcus might be another, because he's retiring this year, whatever, might be another idea.
Yeah, but LaMarcus ditched this team. If LaMarcus had stayed, he, Dame, and CJ could have been a legitimate, title contending trio, maybe. I mean, Durant went to Golden State.
So I agree.
But anyway. All right. We're good.
We are officially launching the
Brooke Olsen Dam.
Brooke Olsen Dam as the NBA draft lottery picker campaign here on the Sports by Northwest podcast.
It should be done. If we say it should happen, it's what should happen.
Well, obviously, we're the ones making all the decisions around there. So,
all right, thanks for listening to the Sports by Northwest podcast, which is supported by the Pacific Office Automation 147, coming June 2nd and 3rd to Portland International Raceway. Please click the subscribe button and give us a positive rating. We'd appreciate that. And Brenna and I will be back next week.